dignity, devotion, love, affection, compassion, altruism, trust, solidarity, friendship, mutual assistance, tolerance, loyalty, faithfulness, concern, and protection of others. Most people express their longing for features of proper moral values at every available opportunity. They complain of being unable to come by features of the proper moral values they wish for, such as love, respect, and loyalty. The fact is, though, that proper moral values are only possible through fearing God and feeling deep devotion to Him. It is therefore only sincere believers who truly live by these values. There are many verses in the Quran concerning people's daily lives and social relationships. Believers seek to live by these pleasing moral values revealed by God in the Quran in the finest possible manner at every moment of their lives. No matter what the circumstances may be, they never make any concessions on demonstrating proper moral values. They never engage in discrimination based on conflicts of interest on any subject whatsoever. Believers, bound to one another through godliness in this world, will, by the will of God, benefit in the hereafter. But those who believe and do right actions, they are the best of creatures. Their reward is with their Lord. Gardens of Eden with rivers flowing under them, remaining in them timelessly, forever and ever. God is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. That is for those who fear their Lord. Mutual support, or solidarity with others, is an important quality of a believer. As stipulated in the Quran, all believers are one of the same brotherhood. They are people who feel a sincere love of and devotion to God, who follow the Quran, and who seek to attain paradise. There is therefore great love and solidarity among them. God reveals what form this solidarity among believers should take within the following verse. God loves those who fight in His way, in ranks like well-built walls. The verse emphasizes how there should be no obligation among Muslims that will be a burden to them. Believers make great efforts to avoid any impairment of the solidarity among them and strive to strengthen their devotion. In some societies, compassion and tolerance in the face of error is so rare as to be almost non-existent. A mistake is inevitably humiliated, mocked, and punishment is often felt to be the best method available to deal with the issue. People are therefore terrified of making mistakes. Indeed, they fiercely avoid doing so and seek to cover up any that they may make, instead of making amends for them. However, intolerance in the face of error has always been the principal source of discord. Yet everyone possesses his or her own different character. Everyone, therefore, may be superior in some regards and inferior and flawed in others. For example, one person may have a more excitable nature than other people, and someone else may be excessively placid, careless, or sluggish. All these flaws are attributes that people should seek to help one another with, and should be met with tolerance and understanding rather than with anger. For that reason, believers know that they must always treat one another with patience, compassion, and tolerance, and seek to remedy one another's errors by warning them in the kindest possible way. They never forget that discord born out of intolerance may damage the unity that exists among believers. One of the secrets behind the happy and placid lives of true believers is the warm brotherhood and solidarity among them. Any behavior that might harm this unity and solidarity is a violation of the moral values described in the Quran. Indeed, God warns believers against this danger in these words: "Obey God and His Messenger, and do not quarrel among yourselves, lest you lose heart and your momentum disappears. And be steadfast. God is with the steadfast." Emotions such as discord, friction, enmity, and hatred are examples of poor moral values that need to be avoided. Sincere Muslims never conduct themselves under the influence of these undesirable feelings. They fear God and are always modest, friendly, thoughtful, and full of love in their relations. As a requirement of the stipulation in the Quran, believers scrupulously avoid any words or actions that might hurt their Muslim brothers, but exhibit behavior that will further increase the love and trust among them. A hadith of our Prophet on this subject is as follows: "The habits of earlier generations have attacked you, envy and hatred. Hatred is shaving. You will not enter paradise till you believe. You will not believe till you love one another. Shall I not inform you what thing will establish you on it? Spread peace among you." Any dispute or falling out among believers will weaken them and damage the atmosphere of peace. In fact, in one verse of the Quran, we are told that unless believers act as one another's guardians, in other words, as their friends and protectors, there will be corruption on earth. Those who do not believe are the friends and protectors of one another. If you do not act in this way, there will be turmoil in the land and great corruption. Even if a believer holds a different opinion to that of another believer, he or she must still employ a reconciliatory, modest, and respectful style. These different ideas will thus remain at the consultative level and will never grow into an argument. In one verse, God issues the following commandment with regard to how believers should behave towards one another: "The believers are brothers, so make peace between your brothers and fear God, so that hopefully you will gain mercy." Envy, competition, and offense are some of the principal obstacles to unity and brotherhood among people. Any competition that might arise among believers as a result of greed will reduce the love among believers. Envy of a Muslim who serves to spread the moral values of the Quran, or regarding that individual as a rival, is behavior unbecoming of a sincere Muslim. Instead of feeling envy, one should rather support and feel pride in that person's determination. In his work, Risale-i-Nur Collection, the famous Islamic scholar Bediüzzaman Said Nursi described how believers should behave in a harmonious and complementary manner to one another, just like the cogs in a factory. Flawless and perfect production can only be obtained in that factory when all the cogs in it work together in harmony, in an atmosphere far removed from competition. Believers who strive to perform auspicious deeds to earn God's approval must also act in that same spirit of harmony. The faithful must strive without looking for flaws or defects in one another, and must even seek to make good up for each other's deficiencies. Our prophet also emphasized the eradication of jealousy and envy. He commanded believers to love one another with a sincere love, seeking no advantage for themselves, and to harbor no thoughts of hatred, anger, or jealousy towards each other. Our prophet was the finest role model for believers in this regard, a subject on which he frequently offered them advice, one example of which is as follows. Do not be envious of one another, harbor no hatred towards one another, speak no harsh words to one another, do not turn your backs on one another, and do not talk behind one another's backs. Be brothers and servants of God. One of the main features of the society of the ignorant is that a person's relationships are generally based on self-interest. Friendships, marriages, and business partnerships are generally built on self-interest. Most people usually think only of themselves. Other people's thoughts and feelings are generally relegated to second place, or else ignored entirely. The moral values of a true believer, however, are completely different, because one of the main attributes of believers is their freedom from selfish passions. A believer who has managed to overcome his or her endless worldly passions and desires will treat other believers with altruism and consideration. In one of his hadiths, our prophet expressed the approach that believers should adopt towards one another. The believer wishes the same for his brother as for himself. Sincere believers, who have greater regard for the other party than for themselves, thus fulfill a requirement of faith and conscience. One of the finest examples of these superior moral values of faithful servants is that of those who emigrated and those who harbored them. Those who were already settled in the abode and in faith before they came, love those who have emigrated to them, and do not find in their hearts any need for what they have been given, and prefer them to themselves, even if they themselves are needy. It is the people who are safeguarded from the avarice of their own selves who are successful. The way that a believer holds other believers above himself is not restricted to providing them with material means. A believer considers all the needs of other believers before his own. Even in the most difficult-seeming times, he will relegate his own ease and comfort to second place by immediately placing all the means at his disposal at the service of other believers. Furthermore, in the same way that he will feel no unease at doing so, he will also not allow the other party to feel any embarrassment. He does what is necessary and behaves in the finest manner possible, without allowing the other party to feel indebted to him. The duty of godly Muslims who wish to share paradise together is to take a close interest in their brother's faith, moral values, cleanliness, happiness, and health. They always maintain an attitude of consideration and altruism by watching over their brother's deficiencies and needs. For believers who follow the Quran's morality, respecting one's guest is a way to observe one of God's commands, as well as an opportunity to display high morality. Therefore, believers welcome their guests cordially. In societies that have adopted the moral values of the ignorant, people generally consider a guest as a burden, both in the material and spiritual sense, for they cannot see such events as opportunities to earn God's good pleasure and display moral excellence. Rather, they regard treating their guests cordially as a social obligation. The Quran especially draws attention to the moral excellence shown to guests. Before all else, believers offer respect, love, peace, and cordiality to each guest. A welcome merely based on catering, without showing any love, respect, and peace, would not be pleasing. The Quranic morality encourages believers to compete with one another in doing good. Even such a common act as greeting a guest is an example of this attitude. The Quran also urges us to make the guest feel comfortable by identifying all of his or her possible needs so that they can be met before the guest mentions them. The way in which the Prophet Abraham treated his guests is a good example of this and displays an important feature of hospitality. Has the story reached you of the honored guests of Abraham? Behold, they entered his presence and said, "Peace." He said, "Peace," and thought, "These seem unusual people." Then he turned quickly to his household, brought out a fattened calf, and placed it before them. He said, "Will you not eat?" One important point in these verses attracts our attention. It is better to offer a guest something before he or she has the chance to ask for it. This is because a courteous guest will hesitate to mention any need. Out of his or her thoughtfulness, such a guest would even try to prevent the host from offering anything. Asked whether he or she needs anything, such a guest would possibly say no, and thank the host for offering it. For this reason, the Quranic morality entails thinking about the guest's possible needs in advance. Another favorable conduct indicated here is offering something without delay. Before all, such conduct reveals the host's pleasure at making the guest comfortable. As the verse mentions, offering something quickly, without delay, reveals the host's eagerness and modesty to serve his guest. Another good behavior implied by these verses quoted is that although Prophet Abraham had never met his guests before, he tried to serve them in the best possible manner. We can deduce that while catering to a guest, one should do his or her best to prepare and then offer high quality, fresh, and delicious food. The Quran refers to the argumentative tendencies of human beings. More than anything else, man is argumentative. Some people do not argue in order to weigh different ideas. All they have is a worldly desire for confrontation. In arguments of this kind, nobody tries to evaluate the other side's arguments and discover the truth. They merely seek to impose their own ideas and put down the other party. That is why a worldly argument is carried on in a loud voice and with tense facial expressions, and may even sometimes turn violent. The most irrational of all is the way that some people argue about subjects they have no knowledge of at all. Our attention is drawn to this subject in a verse. You are people arguing about something of which you have no knowledge. Why do you argue about something of which you have no knowledge? God knows, you do not know. Satan does all in his power to provoke and spread arguments in order to turn people away from the path of God and make them waste their entire lives. He portrays controversy as something pleasant and attractive. Believers, however, avoid any kind of argument or dispute that might impair their spirit of unity, togetherness, and brotherhood. No believer ever seeks to hold his own desires above his brother's, because he is not arrogant and therefore has no need to engage in such facile behavior as blindly defending an idea simply because it belongs to him. When a devout believer has a difference of opinion with another, he sets out his own opinion but listens very carefully to that of the other party, and then abides by the good words commanded in the Quran. In other words, he abides by the truth, in the light of the judgment expressed in the Quran. He will not insist if his own opinion is mistaken. He is always conciliatory and open to advice, because he knows that advice will benefit believers. And remind them, for truly the believers benefit from being reminded. Muslims take pleasure from talk and conversation as a result of the human nature created by God. They praise His glory and seek means to draw closer to our Lord. They seek to deepen their faith in an atmosphere based on mutual love and respect. They read and reflect on the verses. A Muslim is aware of God at every moment and knows that God hears his every word. He therefore avoids saying anything that he thinks might be displeasing to God. He always listens to the voice of his conscience and uses a sincere way of speaking to encourage honesty, goodness, and proper moral values, because he knows that any other way of speaking will damage the unity and solidarity between them. It is stated in a verse thus: Who could say anything better than someone who summons to God and acts rightly and says, I am one of the Muslims? In another verse, God reveals that the homes in which Muslims live are those in which His name is remembered, and that there are men who proclaim His glory morning and evening. In such homes, the faithful converse and remember God. In remembering God, believers speak in a most sincere and honest manner. They engage in godly conversation, rich in verses from the Quran. In truth, believers seek to establish the atmosphere of paradise here on earth. Their homes are therefore like those in paradise, where sincere and pleasurable conversation is held, where God's verses are read, and where the wisdom in those verses is discussed. Indeed, according to the Quran, the greatest act of observance is to remember God. There is no special time and place for this, and conversation in which God is remembered can arise among believers at any time. This is revealed thus in the Quran: People with intelligence are those who remember God, standing, sitting, and lying on their sides, and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth. Our Lord, you have not created this for nothing. Glory be to you. So safeguard us from the punishment of the fire. Talk in which God is not mentioned, in which God is not praised, are empty incantations that trouble the human soul. For example, when believers see an attractive house, they speak about it, because attractive homes are one of the blessings of paradise. Speaking about that subject increases the believer's enthusiasm and desire to attain paradise. Believers never forget that this house and the world itself are but transient, that they will one day disappear, and that God has created them as a test for the faithful. Unbelievers, too, may talk for hours when they see such a house. But that talk merely reinforces their attachment to this world. Believers remember God in all that they say, and remind one another of Him at all times. That is the source of the peace and contentment in their hearts. In one verse it is revealed that only in the remembrance of God can the heart find peace. God has revealed in the Quran that there is a deep bond of affection and compassion among people. Thus, having this concept of friendship, believers aspire to eliminate all factors likely to cause trouble for one another and to create a peaceable and comfortable environment. They are aware that their brothers are weak servants of God like themselves. They acknowledge that they are apt to make mistakes, to commit errors of memory, or to be forgetful. Therefore, they are never seized by feelings of anger or mercilessness, and compassionately encourage one another to do good. Believers show their compassion by encouraging one another to engage in such deeds as would be most likely to earn God's blessing. They know that true compassion requires supporting one another in such a way as to become people worthy of the garden. In that respect, they do their best to make up for each other's mistakes and shortcomings. Such cooperation is also what God and Quranic morality enjoin. The limits of such cooperation is specified in the Quran as follows. Help each other to goodness and heedfulness. Do not help each other to wrongdoing and enmity. Heed God. God is severe in retribution. As is also expressed in the above verse, believers not helping one another in wrongdoing and enmity is another manifestation of true compassion. This is the best sign of one's compassion. That is because they know that the finest manifestation of compassion is not to permit someone else to sin. One of the ways in which believers display love and compassion for one another is the way in which they pray for each other's good. Whatever they wish for themselves, they also ask for on behalf of other believers. Furthermore, their understanding of compassion is so noble that they ask for better things for other believers. They always pray for a blissful life, endowed with God's mercy, for believers in the garden. They call upon God and ask Him to improve the morality of themselves and their brothers, to protect them from evil deeds, to forgive them and reward them with the garden. There is no doubt that this is a very elevated moral code, considering that people are, by nature, prone to strive for their own good and comfort, and tend to keep the better things for themselves. Unlike this example, the fact that believers also show consideration for their brothers is a manifestation of their elevated morality. This is also stressed in the Quran in numerous prayers of believers. those who have come after them say, Our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith, and do not put any rancor in our hearts towards those who believe. Our Lord, you are all gentle, most merciful. God has described a believer's state of mind, behavior, and superior moral values in a great many verses. Believers fear God, their sincere faith, their constant seeking of God's approval, their submission, determination, enthusiasm, absolute conviction regarding the hereafter, their trustworthiness, and many other superior features have all been revealed in the Quran. Brotherhood, unity, solidarity, and altruism are all experienced at the highest levels in a society composed of individuals possessed of these attributes. The secret of this is for everything to be done with godliness, by turning sincerely to God and seeking only His good pleasure. When his brother falls ill, a believer takes a sincere interest in him to earn God's approval. He loves his brother for God's sake. He avoids argument and overcomes his anger for God's sake, because the proper thing to do is to spend every moment in good deeds, hoping only for the approval of God and expecting no reward. Indeed, God reveals in one verse that those who display such fine moral values will receive the very finest recompense. Their recompense is forgiveness from their Lord, and gardens with rivers flowing under them, remaining in them timelessly, forever. How excellent is the reward of those who act!